Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's heartbreaking news from the FBI today. Agents were contacted last month by a person close to confessed school shooter Nicholas Cruz with concerns about his gun ownership, his disturbing social media posts, and, according to the FBI press release, the potential of him conducting a school shooting. The FBI says that the information should have triggered a follow-up by the FBI Miami field office. Of course, it did not. Now, in some states, that person would have been able to petition a judge to take away Cruz's gun. We want to take a minute to look at the law. There is a federal requirement that people involuntarily committed to a psychiatric hospital be added to a list of those banned from buying guns. President Obama expanded that list to include people with mental illness who received Social Security disability checks. Last year, President Trump revoked that rule, but some say the original law didn't work well anyway. Judge Stephen Leifman is with the 11th Judicial Circuit Court of Florida. Judge Leifman, you say in your state it was very hard to get someone involuntarily committed and on that list.
It basically almost means that you have to have a gun to your head or someone else's head. And anything short of that makes it very difficult to involuntarily hospitalize someone here.
So you changed the requirement for someone's name on a background check in Florida. What happened there?
We did. What we found is that under the federal rule, you only get on the list if you're technically adjudicated, meaning you've actually had a court hearing and a judge has found that you meet that criteria. Well, the vast majority of people who come into crisis stabilization units with serious mental illnesses switch to voluntary status. So only about 1% of the cases were actually getting adjudicated. So the vast majority of people who may have come into the system who were imminently dangerous to self or others never got on the list, which would have prohibited them from purchasing a firearm.
But the change that you made was that, what, people who voluntarily came in are also going on the background checklist?
Yes. Basically, that's the change we made, is that if you came in meeting the original criteria that you were imminently dangerous to yourself or others, even if you move to a voluntary status, you would, in fact, go on the list.
Okay, so that strengthened that. But as you know, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel wants to strengthen it even more. He wants to give police even more power to take someone in involuntarily. Let's listen.
What I'm asking our lawmakers to do is go back to places like Tallahassee, places like Washington, D.C., and give police the power. If they see something on social media, if they see graphic pictures of rifles and blood, we need to have the power to take that person and bring them before mental health professionals.
So again, this would expand the ability of people who have concerns to involuntarily bring someone in. And that brings us closer to the so-called red flag laws or extreme risk protection orders started in Connecticut. This is where a police officer or even maybe a family member or a concerned citizen can petition a court to temporarily take guns from people if those people are exhibiting signs that they're posing a danger. They can, you know, just petition the court to do that. These laws have also been passed in California, Washington, Oregon, and Florida is one of 18 states considering that. This has reduced suicides in Connecticut. Your thoughts about, you know, people being able to call in and just say, I have concerns.
You know, usually when someone is exhibiting serious mental health issues, it's not a one-time event. And I think if you are able to look at the totality of certain situations and if there is enough evidence to suggest that the person may in fact be a risk to themselves or someone else, then we should intervene on a mental health status. These are not arrests, they are mental health. And I think by doing that, you're going to get better outcomes.
So, Judge, what do you think, though, of the people, and we always have to mention this, people who represent the mental health community, who say that statistically, even though more mentally ill people are behind these terrible incidents, there's far fewer violence within the mental health community as a whole, and this unfairly targets them?
It is absolutely true that people with mental illnesses are no more dangerous than people without mental illnesses, and that They are much more likely to be victims of violent crimes than perpetrators. But the issue shouldn't just be about mental illness. There are a lot of other issues. It's a perfect storm of possible mental illness and easy access to weapons. And I think part of the issue shouldn't be targeting people with mental illnesses per se. I think what we need to do is improve our mental health system. Florida's 50th or 51st per capita in mental health funding. So even if we do change our laws, if we don't improve access to care and allow people to get the care they need, all the laws in the world aren't going to matter.
You say that if we treated the physically ill the way we treated the mentally ill, what?
There would be a plethora of civil lawsuits and probably indictments for gross negligence. I mean, what other illness is it okay to discharge people sometimes in the middle of the night into homelessness, psychotic, when we don't give them what they need? And then they often get picked up on these quality of life offenses because they're still sick and we have not given them the treatment they need. I think instead of just looking at the dangerousness side of these laws, we should be looking at the need for treatment and then making sure we give them the access to that treatment.
Well, especially if we have a background check system that is dependent upon hospitalization records. If people feel that they aren't going to get a bed when they go in or aren't going to have insurance cover it, they're not going to go. And that's where we're getting the names that are going into the background check system. It seems like a flawed loop.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's a flawed system all around, and it really needs to be overhauled from top to bottom.
Judge Stephen Lifman of Florida, thank you.
Thank you.